The Right Gear, Episode 22. Digital pens, smart pens, and styluses. Hello, and welcome to The Right Gear on Hologram Radio, a podcast for writers that's all about the digital and analog tools we use to write. From computers and apps to pens and journals, we explore them all. I'm your host, K. Tempest Bradford, science fiction and fantasy author, freelance technology journalist, media critic, and lover of gel pens. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about digital pens of all kinds, from styluses made for tablets and smartphones to smart pens that digitize your handwriting instantly. There are about a million and one products that fit under this umbrella out in the world, and I'm going to explore which of them are the most useful for writers. So let's get started. I want to begin with the category of digital pen called smart pens. These are actual pens, usually ballpoint, juiced up with technology that allows them to capture your pen strokes digitally as well as on paper. Smart pens usually require special paper, which is often available in various notebook sizes, as well as available to print. They hold a certain attraction for people who are looking to bridge the digital divide without giving up the feel of a real paper and pen. For a long time, there were only a few smart pens that were really worth buying, and they were all made by one company, LiveScribe. In the past couple of years, a few more have popped up, most notably the Neo Smart Pen and the Bamboo Spark. But let's start with LiveScribe's offerings, the LiveScribe 3 Pen and the LiveScribe Echo. The Echo is my go-to smart pen, and I've been using it for about 5 years, mainly in my role as a journalist. When you write with the Echo using LiveScribe's special dot paper, it records your pen strokes using a tiny camera that's embedded in the pen. The Echo also has a microphone in it that records audio as you write. To listen to the audio, you just tap on a pen stroke and the sound will begin playing from exactly where you were when you made that pen stroke. It's very accurate and very useful. When you connect the pen to a computer, you can download the recordings, called pencasts, and the digital page with your handwriting. You can view these in the Echo desktop app or export them as images or as PDFs with the audio included, and then you can save that in whatever notes program you like the best. The PDFs work the same as tapping with a pen. You click on any word or pen stroke, and the audio will play from that moment. This feature is why I use the Echo, even more so than having my handwritten notes digitized. When conducting interviews, attending briefings, and any other time I need an accurate record of what was said, I use the Echo. It made taking notes in these situations a lot easier. I didn't have to write down every scrap of information, I just had to write down a few key words so I could remember where to tap later. I often recommend the Echo to students at the college level for capturing lectures. The pen's mic can pick up audio from a short distance away, though it's better up close. And LiveScribe also sells a set of earbuds that has an even better mic on them for bigger lecture halls. I mentioned that I use the Echo as a journalist all the time. I don't use it in my fiction writing life much, and that's for a few reasons. The main one is that it's a ballpoint pen. Now, it's not a bad ballpoint, I will note. However, as you may remember from our best pen episode, I really like the smooth glide of a gel ink pen. You don't get that with the Echo. So I don't use it to journal or when writing fiction by hand. The one fiction-related thing I have used it for is to record the conversation during critiques of my short stories. Again, so I can capture everything a person said without having to write down everything they said. Some folks also don't like how thick the Echo pen is, which I can understand. I mean, I don't mind and I like its weird shape, but it is thicker than an average pen. Others object to needing to buy the special dot paper so that it works. But you can print out the paper if you want to, although in my opinion, the notebooks are actually worth the investment if you use the Echo a lot. And since LiveScribe has been at this for a while, there are a ton of different kinds of notebooks. There's like single or three subject ones for class, journals that are lined and unlined, small spiral notebooks. They even have like sticky notes and stickers. The ecosystem is pretty big. The biggest objection to the Echo for folks who are ultra digital is that it does require a wire to get the info off of it. You can listen to the recordings on the pen itself as long as you have the paper notebook, But to send it and to make them PDFs and all that stuff, you have to transfer the data from the pen to your computer. And as we all know, wires are so last decade. This is why the company developed the LiveScribe 3, a version of their smart pen that connects to iOS and Android devices via Bluetooth. It works almost the same as the Echo. You write on the dot paper and the pen records the strokes, but it has an additional function. It sends the digital data to an app, and then what you're writing shows up as you write on the tablet or smartphone you have it connected to, as long as, you know, the Bluetooth is on and it's active. Now, if you aren't connected to the tablet or the phone at the time, you can still write and the pen will save your pen strokes. And then once you're connected again, the data will transfer. From the app, you can send the pages or notes you make to Evernote, Dropbox, email, and a few other places. The app will also recognize your handwriting and turn it into typed text. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in a second. Now, aside from the connectivity, the other big difference is that the LiveScribe 3 pen itself doesn't record audio as you write. When it's connected to a device, you can use the mic from the tablet or smartphone to record the audio, which is then synced with your pen strokes. But that means that the audio quality will vary from device to device, which I see is one of the weak points of this pen. I know that most newer smartphones and tablets do have good mics, and the app will use an external mic if it's connected, but it does mean that I have to have my device with me and out if I want to record. You pen nerds will appreciate that the pen body isn't as thick as the Echo, and it is round and just feels like one of those fat executive pens. Sadly, though, it's still ballpoint. Now, if the LiveScribe 3 is still a bit thick for you, there is another option, and that's the Neo Smart Pen N2. It's very similar in how it works. Neo has their own special paper that you have to use, and the N2 Smart Pen connects to Android and iOS via Bluetooth, just like the LiveScribe. The app captures strokes from the pen in real time or later once you sync it, and it can do corresponding audio using the tablet or smartphone mic. The difference is that the N2 is about as thick as a normal pen and has a triangular shape instead of cylindrical. It feels pretty comfortable in the hand, and writing with it was as good as it usually gets with ballpoints. That's really about the only advantage it has over the LiveScribe 3, though. The app is basic but functional, and when you sync a paper notebook to it, the image of the cover matches the cover of your notebook, so that's pretty cool. You can share the pages you create as an image file, a PDF, or as typed text. Handwriting recognition is here, too. However, the app is a bit confusing, especially during initial setup. Of these three smart pens, the Echo, the LiveScribe 3, and the Neo N2, I still prefer the Echo since it means I only have to carry the pen and notebook if I want to. Yeah, it still requires a wire, but I'm used to that. Still, I recognize that most people prefer the wireless approach. There's one other smart pen-like gadget I wanted to talk about here, and that's the Bamboo Spark. This one is made by Wacom, a company with a long history of great products in the digital pen space. Most of the digital artists I know swear by their tablets, and by that I mean the kind you attach to a computer for drawing and other fine mouse manipulation. This company also makes the technology behind many pen-enabled tablets and laptops. Wacom has made a couple of really good passive styluses for touchscreen devices too, but last year they came out with the Bamboo Spark, which is related but different, in that it's not just about the pen, but also about the folio that comes with it. The folio is the thing that connects to a tablet or smartphone via Bluetooth, and it also has this embedded electromagnetic resonance board, or EMR board, that communicates with the pen. The paper that comes with this notebook is just regular paper. It's not special dot paper. The Spark knows what your pen strokes are by sensing the pen with EMR through the paper, and that's actually really pretty cool. The folio is also designed so that you could store a phone or tablet in the pocket on the side opposite the paper, or in the case of the iPad Air 2, you can snap it in and the folio becomes a case for it. As you write using the Spark's pen, pen strokes can show up in real time on the screen if you're in the app, or if you're not connected, once again, the folio will store many pages and then sync them up later, so that's very similar to what's going on with the LiveScribe and the Neo N2, right? Still, the Bamboo Spark is a different way of thinking about the whole paper-to-digital thing, and I give Wacom 2 thumbs up for innovation. Unfortunately, the actual execution isn't quite there yet. For instance, The paper has a hard time staying in place as you write, and if the pad moves, the resulting digital version might be off by a bit or a lot. So that's really not optimal. The pen is another ballpoint, which is disappointing because you'd think that Wacom would try for like a rollerball at least. And the whole setup with a pen and the folio and all that is not really quite elegant. And, you know, as with the whole moving thing, it can be frustrating. But the Spark app has pretty much the same functionality as the LiveScribe and Neo apps, including the handwriting recognition. Overall, the Bamboo Spark, while interesting take on the digital pen experience, isn't as polished as the others I mentioned, and so I don't recommend it right now. I do recommend that you keep an eye out for new versions, as this gadget really does have the potential to be great with some more work on Wacom's part. So other than having a digital copy of your notes in your own handwriting, one of the reasons why people are interested in digital pens is the handwriting recognition. The dream of writing out your article or novel or whatever by hand and having that magically transform into typed text you can edit is here. It's not 100% awesome yet, but it's here. All the smart pen apps I mentioned before can do this, and I tested them all. Accuracy varies with each of them, even though I'm pretty sure they're all using the same underlying technology from MyScript, a company that specializes in handwriting to text. When not trying to be neat, I got about 75% accuracy on average. When I put some effort into being neat, the chances of the app recognizing the word did go up. Cursive was hit or miss. Another thing to keep in mind, if you're writing fantasy or science fiction or anything where you use made-up or just unusual words, the recognition engine might interpret them very wrong. It's the same with names. The recognition engine seemed to operate on a combination of letter-by-letter recognition and using a dictionary to figure out what whole word you're using, but it doesn't seem to be consistent. Another thing to consider, the conversion doesn't work as well with text mixed in with images or text going at angles or just completely different orientations. Even if your handwriting isn't converted perfectly each time, and even if you write all over the page in varied ways, the handwriting recognition is useful in another way, and that's search. Just as with Evernote, some of these apps index what words it can read so that when you search, you can find your word in any note, even if you don't convert it manually. Another nice thing, when you share images from these apps to Evernote, that service does recognize the handwriting within them and will index it there too. This is true for the LiveScribe Echo desktop software. However, if you want the handwriting to text, you might have to buy an extra add-on depending on what version of the Echo you buy. Sometimes that comes with it. Despite this, I still dig the Echo best because I like having the mic and pen in one thing. And I don't use the actual handwriting recognition that much. I just want a digital copy. Still, of the others, I'm partial to the LiveScribe 3. So that's my look at smart pens, and I'm always on the lookout for new ones, and I'll keep you updated on any that I find that are interesting. Before we move on to styluses, let's take a break for something cool. All right, I have some exciting news for you, Ryker listeners. We're doing our first giveaway, and it's really easy to enter. What are we giving away? We're giving away analog and digital writing gear bundles. The first prize bundle includes a LiveScribe 3 Smart Pen, Moleskine Edition with a Moleskine line notebook, an Apex Fusion Active Stylus for iOS and Android devices, which we're going to talk about in a second, a Pilot Knight Fountain Pen, two Pentel Energel Deluxe Gel Pens, one black and one fun mystery color, a Paper Blanks A Room of One's Own line notebook, and 1 year of Evernote Premium. The second prize bundle includes a Neo Smart Pen N2, a Fabriano Ecoqua line notebook, two Pentel Energel Deluxe Pens, 6 months of Evernote Premium. I want to take this time to thank LiveScribe, Evernote, LinkTech, Penchalet.com, and the Neo Smart Pen Company for donating some of these fabulous prizes. To enter this contest, just go to the show notes or www.therightgear.com and click on the episode link. Entering is easy, and there are 8 ways to do so. The more actions you complete, the more chances you have to win. And we'll pick random winners after the giveaway closes on August the 6th. But before you run off to enter, let's talk about styluses. Now, stylus is a term that covers a range of different types of pointing devices that aren't all the same, but do the same basic thing. They allow you to operate a touchscreen without your finger. On the less expensive end, you have styluses with rubber tips on the end that you can buy for just a few dollars that work on any modern capacitive touchscreen. They mimic the finger, and they're usually not fine point, but they'll get the job done in most cases. On the upper end are active stylus pens that have fine nib points similar to a ballpoint pen and are made to work with specific screen hardware. Think the Microsoft Surface Pro, the Galaxy Note series from Samsung, old school ThinkPads, that kind of thing. Now, the reason those higher end devices are called active styluses is because they communicate with the layer in the display, so the device knows exactly where the tip of the stylus is and also, in many cases, how much pressure you're applying. Now, there's a pretty wide range of styluses in between the cheap passive ones you'll find in any Walgreens and, say, the Apple iPencil for the iPad Pro. Some of them are better for writers than others. If you want to go all digital and write by hand on your tablet, most of the rubber tip passive styluses aren't going to be useful to you. There are a few that have firm tips, which are better for writing, but not the best for anything longer than the occasional note. For a better writing experience, you want something with a fine point. It used to be that this meant getting one of those active styluses that only work with certain devices, which are all kind of expensive, but that's not true anymore. Stylus makers Wacom, Adonit, and LinkTech are pioneers in the universal fine point active stylus space. Each of these companies make digital pens that try to mimic the fancy tricks that true active styluses can do, such as pressure sensitivity and palm rejection, without needing compatible hardware in the screen to work. This was mostly done with Bluetooth connectivity in the past, and Bluetooth is really useful in this regard. It's just not 100% effective. And the other drawback is that those styluses tended to only work with iPads and not anything Android or even Windows. Wacom's Intuos Creative Stylus 2 is one such device, and it gets high marks from professional reviewers and users. If you have a newer iPad and you don't want to upgrade to the iPad Pro, this one is worth checking out. If you don't have an iPad or you just don't want to drain the battery by having Bluetooth on all the time, both Adonit and LinkTech make fine point styluses that need to be charged and on to work, but they don't need to be connected. And these work just as well with iPads as with Android tablets and also Windows tablets. Adonit has the Jot Dash and LinkTech has the Apex Fusion stylus. I received an Apex Fusion from the company for testing and review and spent a week writing with it on my Galaxy Note tablet and a couple of other things. The Fusion's narrow fiber tip is very firm and it moves smoothly across the tablet screen as well as all the other screens I tried it on, including a couple of phones. It's the size of an average pen and about the weight of my favorite pen, which is the Pentel Energel, so it felt really natural to me to hold and use. With this type of active stylus, you don't get palm rejection or pressure sensitivity. The former is a significant issue with larger tablets because most folks need to rest their hand on the display as they write. Some note-taking apps solve this by creating palm rest areas on the screen. Again, not 100% effective, but it's something. The pressure sensitivity thing has always seemed more important to artists who draw than people like me who are more focused on text. However, as I use the Apex Fusion, I realize why I prefer a stylus with a pressure-sensitive tip. It feels more like writing on paper. The Fusion's nib is firm, like I said, and it has no give. It's designed this way for a reason, and that's actually fine. But when I use the S Pen, the stylus that comes with the Galaxy Note, the nib flexes and gives a little as I write, just as a pen with a spring inside the body gives a bit as you write. Or the way a flex nib fountain pen responds to the various pressures of your hand. I didn't even realize this was something I cared about until I started using the Apex Fusion. The Fusion and other active styluses like it are a good choice for people who want a pen experience on a tablet and don't have the money for a more expensive one, or for people who just want to test out writing directly on a tablet before spending a lot and committing. If you're ready to commit, though, then the very best stylus experience you're going to get is with a tablet or touchscreen computer that is made to work with an active stylus. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next episode, pen-enabled tablets and which ones are great for writers. I'm going to talk Android tablets, Windows tablets, and we'll also have a special guest. Fran Wild, Nebula Award-winning author of Updraft, is going to talk about her experience with the iPencil and the iPad Pro.
The stylus that goes with the new iPad Pro, it's sweet. And it's just very simply designed. It looks like a pen. It sits in your hand like a pen should. The length is exact. Everything is really well balanced.
You won't want to miss that one. And you won't if you subscribe. In fact, that's one of the ways that you get points in the giveaway I mentioned earlier. So like I said, to enter, head to www.therightgear.com, click on the episode, and find the contest entry link at the top. There you'll have 8 different options for entering to win one of the analog and digital bundles, and one of them is subscribing. Another is tweeting out the episodes you like, and you can do that actually every day. Another is subscribing to our YouTube channel. The more actions you do, the better chance you have at winning. Also, if you're a fan of The Right Gear, consider supporting this podcast by becoming a patron on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/ktempestbradford, you'll know there are 2 reward levels just for fans and superfans. If you pledge $2 per month, you get access to episodes early plus some episode extras. If you pledge $15 per month, you can participate in patron-only Ask Me Anything sessions and get access to occasional tech giveaways. There's one that's happening right now that's open to all patrons, which you will be able to see if you become one at any level. To all my current patrons, thank you. Your support helps make this podcast possible. Until next episode, I'm Kate Tempest Bradford, and I challenge you to try and win some cool stuff. The Right Gear podcast on Hologram Radio is written and edited by yours truly and produced by head hologram Alex Knight. Our logo was created by Cosper Ashley Emma and made colorful by hologram Michael Norton. Our theme music, Kill Your Darlings, was composed by Steve Combs.